Hamas condemns the Israeli army's killing of five Palestinians in the occupied West Bank, saying Palestinians will continue resistance to stop Israeli crimes. Iran sends another consignment of humanitarian aid to its war-ravaged neighbor, Afghanistan. And thousands of Tunisians take to the streets in the capital of Tunis to voice their anger at President Kais Saied's power grab in July. Thanks so much for being with us. And the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has condemned Israeli army's killing of five Palestinians in the occupied West Bank.
Because of the martyrs, people in the West Bank and militants should point their weapons towards the Israeli occupation, the rapist Zionists, to defend our nation, our land, our holy sites, and to stress the equation of blood for blood and bullet for bullet in the West Bank and Jerusalem.
Hamas also said Palestinians will continue their resistance to stop Israeli crimes. The resistance group blamed the deaths on what it called the continuing coordination between Palestinian Authority and Israel. Palestinian Authority has said the killings are a continuation of Israeli violations and field executions. It said Israel is directly and fully responsible for the escalation of tensions. It called on the international community to hold Israel accountable for the crimes. On Sunday, two Palestinians were shot dead near the northern West Bank city of Jenin. Three others were killed in a village northwest of Al-Quds. Four of those killed were Hamas members. Palestinians in the Gaza Strip have held a sit-in rally to voice their support for Palestinian journalists. They urge the international community not to remain silent towards Israeli force targeting of journalists. Rubit Shapet reports from Gaza.
September 26 marks the International Day of Solidarity with Palestinian Journalists, initially declared by the International Federation of Journalists in 1996. To this end, Palestinians held a sit-in rally in front of the house of the journalist Youssef Abu Hussein, who was killed by Israeli airstrikes during the last escalation in the Gaza Strip.
Youssef has been targeted inside his home. Israeli regime intends to target journalists in an attempt to hide the truth of this inhuman regime from being delivered to the world. This is totally against international law to target civilians.
There are 24 Palestinian journalists inside Israeli jails, including a female journalist. There are also a huge number of journalists that were injured and others killed while doing their work.
Palestinian journalists and media outlets have always been a direct target of the Israeli regime. Hundreds of journalists have been killed or injured while covering the Israeli crimes in Gaza.
This is a stand to express our support and loyalty to our colleagues who have been killed or arrested by the Israeli regime for only covering the truth. This event is held to highlight that we won't allow the international community to ignore the Israeli crimes committed against journalists. During the last escalation, we lost Youssef. 35 media institutions were bombed and more than 12 journalists were injured.
Palestinians called on the international media organizations to show solidarity with Palestinian journalists and take steps to provide them with security.
During the recent escalation of unrest in Gaza, the Israeli regime has intentionally targeted Palestinian journalists and destroyed several media offices in a bid to block the truth. Palestinians here call on the international community to provide protection and security for journalists and hold Israel accountable for committing atrocities against them. Ruba Shabit, Gaza.
Iraq's Supreme Judicial Council has reportedly issued arrest warrants for several participants in a conference in the northern city of Erbil on the normalization of ties with Israel. Iraqi media said the council issued warrants for three people and pledged to target others as soon as they are identified. According to the reports, the council called the participation in the conference a crime. Earlier, the Kurdistan Regional Government said the conference was neither authorized nor approved by local officials. The KRG said the issues discussed in the conference did not reflect the views and policies of the Iraqi Kurdistan region. Prominent Iraqi figures, including the country's president and prime minister, have already slammed the conference as illegal. 300 people took part in the event organized by a U.S. think tank on Friday. They called for the normalization of ties between Iraq and Israel. Well, Muslim pilgrims are marching towards Iraq's holy city of Karbala to mark Arba Ain, the largest annual gathering in the world. The pilgrims are converging on the city to observe the 40th day after the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad. This year, Arba Ain falls on September the 28th. Prior to the pandemic, the event drew tens of millions each year, but now the Iraqi government has restricted the number of foreign pilgrims. It has allowed only 40,000 foreign visitors into the country, many of them Iranians. Imam Hussein and dozens of his companions were martyred during the Battle of Karbala with the tyrant of their time over 13 centuries ago. They were killed on the day of Ashura. I'm going to cross over, though, to Iraq and talk to our correspondent, Wissam Bahrani. Wissam, tell us about what's going on. You know, on the one hand, we're reporting that just 40,000 people are have been allowed to go this year. On the other hand, some of the images I've seen, it's quite amazing that it's only 40,000. Go ahead, Wissam, tell me what's going on.
Yeah, I think one of the most notable differences from yesterday is the flags, as was more commonly seen over the past decade or so, more than a decade, over the past 15 years since the this mobilization of people following the collapse of the former Iraqi regime, Saddam Hussein, who prevented this Arba'een march. Over the years, it grew larger and larger. It never went, the numbers never went down. And again, this year, barring this year for the pandemic, over the past two or three years, the pilgrims and the pilgrimage only grew bigger and stronger in numbers. And the, as I say, the most notable difference today, you say 40,000, but it does appear more than 40,000, and that's really quite noticeable from the flags that we've seen, international flags, which was a common sight before the pandemic, and the different languages that you hear. It's not all Arabic. You know, you're hearing languages from different countries, and you know, these were the signs that we didn't see last year, because the Arba'een march was limited only to the people of the that lived in the province of Karbala itself. So that's on one hand. On the other hand, the weather today is very cool. During the day, it was very, very, very hot and very, very windy, so you had a lot of sandstorms. Nevertheless, that didn't prevent the pilgrims from going on the march. We're near the headquarters of the popular mobilization units, who are providing the security service, one of the biggest components from the Iraq's armed forces, who are providing security services to protect the pilgrims who have been targeted before during this Arba'een march by terrorist elements and sleeper cells over the past perhaps two or three years from beyond. We're on the path from Najaf to Karbala, but this pilgrimage is also from Basra, from Nasiriyah, from all different provinces of Iraq is also. But as I said, as we're approaching the day of Arba'een, it's really, really noticeable today from yesterday, and hour by hour, we're seeing more and more pilgrims. About 45 minutes ago, the call to prayer was heard, so people went to read their prayers, and they're back, and they're walking, and perhaps you can't see it now, but I certainly did see different flags from multiple countries.
Thanks so much, Wissam Bahrani, on the Najaf Kabbalah Road in Iraq. Moving on to other news this hour, another consignment of Iranian humanitarian assistance has arrived in Afghanistan. That's the third batch of aid Iran has sent to its eastern neighbors in recent days. Well, the help comes amid UN warnings of a looming humanitarian catastrophe in Afghanistan. For more on that, our correspondent, Amin Alami, joined us earlier from the Kabul International Airport, where the Iranian aid had landed.
According to officials, I mean Iranian intelligence officials here at Kabul International Airport, this flight is carrying 15 tons of humanitarian aid to the people of Afghanistan, including food and medicine. In the meantime, officials here say that Afghanistan needs more humanitarian aid, especially from its neighboring countries, because according to Taliban officials, the U.S. has proved to be not honest with the people of Afghanistan over the past 20 years, and even it abandoned Afghanistan, the people of Afghanistan, by putting more sanctions on this country. In the meantime, many have believed that while Afghanistan and its people are facing a real economic crisis and poverty and joblessness are also on the rise in this country, dispatching of such humanitarian aid by Iran's, Afghanistan's western neighbor, the Islamic Republic of Iran, has created hope and optimism about the real will of the Afghan people, the Afghan government under the rule of the Taliban, in order to boost its ties and relations with such countries who are truly supporting the people of Afghanistan during difficult days they are experiencing.
Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi says sanctions cannot hinder the development of Iran's relations and cooperation with other countries. Raisi described as cruel and illegal the embargoes imposed on Iran over its nuclear energy program. He said the sanctions have created some problems, but will never hamper Iran's progress. President Raisi said imposing sanctions on Iran is completely unjustified. That's because, he said, numerous reports by the International Atomic Energy Agency have verified the peaceful nature of Iran's nuclear activities. The Iranian president was speaking with Austria's new ambassador to Tehran at a meeting to receive his credentials. Wolf Dietrich Heim said Iran and Austria should take steps to strengthen bilateral relations. Well, thousands in Tunisia's capital have protested against President Kais Saied's power grab in July. Demonstrators gathered in Tunis under heavy police presence. They carried banners reading "The Constitution is a red line." Protesters called on President Saied to step down. This week, he brushed aside much of the Constitution, giving himself power to rule by decree. Saied did so 2 months after he sacked the prime minister, suspended parliament, and assumed executive authority. Opponents have accused him of staging a coup. However, the president insists that he aims to address Tunisia's political paralysis and economic crisis. Alame Hassan Hassanzadeh Amoni, a renowned Iranian religious scholar, has passed away at the age of 93. He was an acclaimed figure in the fields of Islamic philosophy, science, and humanities. Now, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has extended his condolences for the demise of Hassanzadeh Amoni. More in the following report.
Iranians are mourning the demise of Allameh Hassan Hassanzadeh Amoli, a prominent Shia theologian, philosopher, mathematician, and mystic. He passed away at the age of 93 after a period of hospitalization for heart diseases. Condolences poured in from top personalities, including the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution. In his message, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei hailed Allameh as a rare gem whose teachings would continue to inspire lovers of wisdom. President Ebrahim Raisi also described him as a skilled and holistic intellectual who educated famed students and left a brilliant and fruitful record. Allameh Hassanzadeh was born to a religious family in Iran's northern city of Amol in 1929. He spent his early life there and received theological education, but later moved to Tehran to expand his studies at the famous Marvi Seminary and other schools. In 1963, he settled in the holy city of Qom, where he studied Islamic philosophy with pioneer figures, including Allama Sayyid Muhammad Hossein Tabatabai, one of the most prominent thinkers of modern Shia Islam. Allama Hassanzadeh spent the rest of his life teaching at the Islamic Seminary of Qom and writing numerous books. He was a figure who had mastery not only over Islamic philosophy and theology, but skilled in other fields as well. He was largely influenced by Muslim philosophers such as Avicenna, Mulla Sadr, and Al-Arabi, whose perspectives can be seen in his works and teachings. Due to vast knowledge in science and humanities, Allameh Hassanzadeh was nicknamed Zulfunun, meaning polymath. An advocate of philosophy, he was opposed to the traditional resistance against its teaching at Shia seminaries and rejected the belief that the Islamic philosophy had its roots in ancient Greek philosophy. Nearly 190 books and treatises on philosophy, jurisprudence, mysticism, traditional medicine, mathematics, astronomy, and Persian and Arabic literature are testimonies of Allameh Hassanzadeh's universal prominence and a legacy that will continue to generate innovative scholarship.
And with that, it brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin.
This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Listeners Special. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special. On this Sunday, September 26, 2021, I'm Atefa Erfani hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. If you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And dear listeners, here I, on behalf of my colleagues in IRIB English Radio, do express my condolences on the event of Arba'in. As you may know, Arba'in is the 40th day after the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, the third Imam of Muslims, the third infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him, and his progeny. Arba'in is commemorated annually through a march by Muslims, Christians, and non-Muslims, which is the biggest in the world and known as Arba'in pilgrimage. From different countries, people come to Karbala and hold ceremonies in this Iraqi city. Again, I do express my condolences on this tragic event. Please do keep us company. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very important and useful for us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us. Actually, these days, due to coronavirus pandemic, we are sending our dear listeners EQSL cards, yes. So please wait for an EQSL card from us. So here we have received some reception reports from our dear listeners around the world, which I do express my appreciations to them, including Rafon Ahmad from India, Kristen Ivanaj from Italy, and Don Glaka from the U.S. Many thanks for sending us these reception reports. It shows your commitment to IRIB English Radio. And from around the world also, we have received so many letters and emails, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read their emails or letters. From India, we have an email from Anand Mohan Bain. From Morocco, we have an email from Yusuf Ben Meir. From India again, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Jayanta Chakrabarty. From Ukraine, we have another email from one of our regular listeners, from Konstantin Provotorov. And the last but not the least is an email from Freddie Irigoyen. Yes, this email is from Uruguay. And thank you very much for sending us these emails and letters, and after a short break, I will be back with these kind messages. Please stay with us. Welcome back to your program, Listeners Special. And as I said, we have an email from Anand Mohan Bain from India. Anand Mohan says, "Hello. Today, while writing this letter, I feel so heartbroken that I'm not able to describe it. My wife, Fulmala Bain, who had been living with me for 46 years, left me and this world on September 2nd. Everyone has to go, but she left in such a way that on August 31st, she kept walking with me in Bilai Market, but left after a day. She had heart attack twice in the house, while another heart attack on the way to the hospital. The doctor said that the whole heart was blocked, while she never spoke such a thing. Never had chest pain, never had blood pressure. It is impossible to understand what is written in fate. When I look everywhere, I become sad. I request everyone to wish that her soul rest in peace." Hello, salam and warmest greetings to you, Anand Mohan Bain from India. And we are so sorry for this tragic loss of life. Ah, we are so shocked by hearing the news. Actually, I, on behalf of my colleagues in IRIB English Radio, do express my condolences to you on this sad event, and what, and the only thing we could do is asking God to bestow you and your children and your family members patience so that you could cope with the situation very well. It was so sad. Anyway, thank you very much for sharing your experience and sending this email to IRB English Radio. May her soul rest in peace. Yes. Thank you very much for letting us know about that. Write to us soon. And tell us your views about IRB English Radio programs. Anand Mohan Bain from India. Okay, what a pity. So, from Morocco, we have an email from Yusuf Ben Meir. Yes, Yusuf Ben Meir from Morocco says, "Dear IRB English Radio staff, greetings. Unfortunately, I prefer to receive a paper QSL card in general rather than electronic one. Thank you very much. The electronic card is a solution in these difficult times. We hope that things will improve as soon as possible. I hope you're all fine. Greetings to you from the Kingdom of Morocco. Stay safe." Salam and warmest greetings to you, Yusuf Ben Meir from Morocco, and many thanks for writing this email to IRB English Radio. Of course, everyone prefers to receive a paper QSL card from IRB English Radio because it stays and remains as a souvenir from a radio station. Anyway, we have to deal with the situation in the time of pandemic, and unfortunately, the only way we have is sending our dear listeners electronic cards, EQSL cards, and please accept it from us in the times of the pandemic. And we also hope that the situation regarding the coronavirus pandemics improves as soon as possible. And we wish you all the best, Yusuf Ben Meir from Morocco. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRB English Radio programs. And now, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with an email from one of our regular listeners, Jayanta Chakrabarty. Welcome back. Here, as I said, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. Jayanta says, "Dear producer and all my friends at IRIB English Radio, I am pleased to send you a report of broadcasting on the shortwave. The reception quality was good with strong signal strength. I will be thankful if my report is verified with a printed QSL card and some postage stamps for collection when the postal services are normalized. God bless all at IRIB English Radio to remain safe and cheerful. With warm regards." Salam and warmest greetings to you, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, one of our regular listeners. And thank you very much for writing to us in IRIB English Radio. So we are so glad that the reception quality was good with a strong signal strength. So my colleagues will soon send you EQSL cards, because in the time of pandemic we can't send you actually paper QSL cards and souvenirs and, as you said, postal stamps for collection and other souvenirs of IRB English Radio. Of course, as you said, after the postal services are normalized, we can send these souvenirs to you, dear listeners. And God bless you, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. Thank you very much for sending us this email. Write to us soon and tell us which program or programs you like the best. Okay, from Ukraine, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Konstantin Provotorov. Konstantin Provotorov from Ukraine says, "Greetings from Ukraine. Dear IRB English Radio staff, I have had a great pleasure in logging into your station, IRB English Radio, and sending you my reception report, hoping that you will be in a position to verify it. Would you be kind enough to send me your QSL card or EQSL card? I have also enclosed audio files recording your broadcast. Thank you in advance for your reply. Yours sincerely. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Konstantin Provatorov from Ukraine, and I do express my gratitude to you for sending us this email. And it's also an honor for us to have you. So you logged into IRB English Radio. Tell us which program or programs you listened to and you liked. Of course, we always embrace your ideas and views about our programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. Thank you again for sending us this email, Konstantin Provatorov from Ukraine. And after a short break, I will be back with other emails. Please stay with us. Welcome back. As I said at the introduction of the program, we have received an email from Uruguay. This email is from Freddy Irigoyen. Freddy says, "Hello, friends, from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting IRIB English Radio. I hope you're doing very well in this global pandemic situation, and I'm pleased to be able to send you this report of reception of your radio. Tuned to 98.35 kilohertz shortwave frequency service in English. Although I live in Montevideo, Uruguay, I was able to listen to them with a receiver located in Cordoba, Argentina. I attached to this report an audio recorded so that you can verify it, and I detail some of the moments of the listening. I am grateful for the transmission made, and I hope to tune in again soon. Finally, I say goodbye and tell you that I would very much like to receive your QSL verification from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Freddy Irigoyen from Uruguay. And we are so glad that the signals of IRIB English Radio are heard and received in your region. In Uruguay, that's great. We hope that you're doing very well, as you said, in this global pandemic situation. So my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card, and of course we received the report and audio recorded that you sent to us. That's great. Thank you very much. In your upcoming emails or letters, please tell us your views about IRB English Radio program or programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. Anyway, thank you. Thanks a lot for sending us this email from Uruguay, Freddy Irigoyen. Write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you. And now time tells me we have to skip to the next section of this week's listeners special, which is, of course, this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. We hope you like it. Please take a listen.
Yeah, hello to our listeners of IRB English, especially to the listeners of Listener Special this evening. Warm greetings from Central Philippines. My name is Henry Omadhai. I am a director and radio hobbyist since 1990. And presently, I'm a presenter of Philippine BS News every Sunday over Waveson. I'm listening to various international radio stations from all over the world. In my collection, thousands of QSL cards, including from the Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran, RIB English, I think I've been listening to the English since 1995. I can hear current news from the Republic of Iran, pressing issues and current affairs. My favorite program, of course, is Listener Special. More than a decade ago, I can still remember you interviewed me twice in this program. And I think this is my fourth time here in your program. Yeah, to all the listeners around the world, during this pandemic, keep safe and continue to listen to RIB English Service.
And dear listeners, before wrapping up this week's listeners special, I do express my condolences on Arba'in. As you know, Arba'in is the 40th day after the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, peace upon him. The third infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. As you may know, Arba'in is commemorated annually through a march by Muslims, non-Muslims, Christians, different people, which is the biggest in the world and known as Arba'ina's pilgrimage. From different countries come to Karbala and hold ceremonies in the Iraqi city of Karbala. Again, I do express my condolences on this event. God bless you and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all.
This is IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
20 years of Pentagon violence and waste should ring alarm bells inside the head of every American, warning them that they have allowed their government to spend trillions of dollars waging war while ignoring real existential dangers to civilization and all of humanity. Dear listeners, what you heard was part of an article written jointly by Miriam Benjamin and Nicholas J.S. Davis, writers. This article is published under the heading U.S. Militarism's Toxic and Planet-Killing Impact on Climate Policy. Stay tuned for more. The U.S. is not a leader when it comes to saving the planet. Yahoo News recently published a report titled, Why the U.S. Lags Behind Europe on Climate Goals by 10 or 15 Years. The article was a rare acknowledgement in the U.S. corporate media that the United States has not only failed to lead the world on the climate crisis, but has actually been the main culprit blocking timely collective action to head off a global existential crisis. The anniversary of September 11th and the U.S. defeat in Afghanistan should be ringing alarm bells inside the head of every American, warning them that they have allowed their government to spend trillions of dollars waging war, chasing shadows, selling arms, and fueling conflict all over the world, while ignoring real existential dangers to civilization and all of humanity. The U.S. is not a leader when it comes to saving the planet. A new survey of 10,000 people between the ages of 16 and 25 in 10 countries around the world found that many of them think humanity is doomed and that they have no future. 3/4 of the young people surveyed said they are afraid of what the future will bring, and 40% say the crisis makes them hesitant to have children. They are also frightened, confused, and angered by the failure of governments to respond to the crisis. Young people in the U.S. have even more reason to feel betrayed than their European counterparts. America lags far behind Europe on renewable energy. Since 1990, the baseline year for emissions reductions under the Kyoto Protocol, the United States has failed to cut them at all, spewing out 2% more than it did in 1990. In 2019, before the COVID pandemic, the United States produced more oil and more natural gas than ever before in its history, In America, politicians and news media have blindly or cynically parroted fraudulent, self-serving disinformation campaigns by ExxonMobil and other vested interests. Why is the United States so far behind Europe when it comes to addressing global warming? Why does the United States not have modern, energy-efficient, widely accessible public transportation as other countries do? On poverty, inequality, healthcare, education, and social insurance, why is the United States an outlier from what are considered societal norms in other wealthy countries? One answer is the enormous amount of money the U.S. spends on militarism. Since 2001, the United States has allocated $15 trillion to its military budget, outspending its 20 closest military competitors combined. The U.S. spends far more of its GDP, the total value of goods produced and services on the military, than any of other 29 NATO countries, 3.7% in 2020 compared to 1.77%. And while the U.S. has been putting intense pressure on NATO countries to spend at least 2% of their GDP on their militaries, only 10 of them have done so. Unlike in the U.S., the military establishment in Europe has to contend with significant opposition from liberal politicians and a more educated and mobilized public. From the lack of universal health care to levels of child poverty that would be unacceptable in other wealthy countries, U.S. governments and their investment in everything else is the inevitable result of these skewed priorities, which leave America struggling to get by on what is left over after the U.S. military bureaucracy has raked off the lion's share, or should we say the general share, of the available resources. On poverty, inequality, healthcare, education, and social insurance, why is the United States an outlier from what are considered societal norms in other wealthy countries? Federal infrastructure and social spending in 2021 amount to only about 30% of the money spent on militarism. The infrastructure package that Congress is debating is desperately needed, but the $3.5 trillion is spread over 10 years and is not enough. On climate change, the infrastructure bill includes only $10 billion per year for conversion to green energy, an important but small step that will not reverse current course toward a catastrophic future. Investments in a Green New Deal must be bookended by corresponding reductions in the military budget if Americans are to correct their government's perverted and destructive priorities in any lasting way. This means standing up to the weapons industry and military contractors, which the Biden administration has so far failed to do so. Biden told the UN General Assembly that as we close this period of relentless war, we are opening a new era of relentless diplomacy. But his exclusive new military alliance with the UK and Australia and his request for a further increase in military spending to escalate a dangerous arms race with China that the United States started in the first place reveal just how far Biden has to go to live up to his own rhetoric on diplomacy as well as on climate change. The United States must go to the UN climate summit in Glasgow in November, ready to sign on to the kind of radical steps that the UN and to leaving fossil fuels in the ground. quickly convert to a net zero renewable energy economy and help developing countries to do the same. As UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres says, the summit in Glasgow must be the turning point in the climate crisis. That will require the United States to seriously reduce the military budget and commit to peaceful, practical diplomacy with China and Russia, genuinely moving on from self-inflicted military failures and the militarism that led to them, would free up the U.S. to enact programs that address the real existential crisis for planet, a crisis against which warships, bombs, and missiles are worse than useless. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5, and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
February 27th, 2021. One of the most representative examples of the active socio-political presence is that of the women of the Ahlul Bayt. As one trained in the school of Islam and attached to the household of infallibility, there are real examples of the idea that Muslim thinkers have put forward in their views on the role of women. Lady Zainab, peace be upon her, is a prominent example in the history who shows the active presence of a woman in one of the most important socio-political scenes of history. Shia identity is tied to Ashura culture. So that after the event of Ashura and the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, and his companions, every socio-political movement formed in the history of the Shia has a relation. whether direct or indirect, to Karbala and benefit from its teaching. This close relationship between the socio-political currents of the Shia and the Ashura event shows that one of the most important aspects of this uprising is political. Now, the question is whether this historical and identity-making political uprising was formed by women or men. Is the movement a masculine or a feminine or a human one? Certainly, the presence of the women of the Ahlul Bayt in the companions of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala is known and an unalterable fact in the Islamic history. But was his presence a passive act in following their men, or was it an active complementary role playing alongside men? To answer this question, we should review the Karbala event from a feminine perspective. Although the main hero of Karbala is Imam Hussein alayhi salam, history cannot narrate the Karbala event without mentioning the name of Lady Zainab alayhi salam.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.